Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's good, internet? It is June 26, 2017, and you are listening to Waypoint Radio. I didn't like that. Let me give that. I'm going to do it again.
That would have gone really differently if we had a soundboard with like morning zoo sounds.
And you are listening to Waypoint Radio. That's better. That was better. I'm Austin Walker. This is episode 75 of Waypoint Radio, which is wild. It's unbelievable. A year is a long time, folks. We are not quite at a year of Waypoint Radio yet. We can figure out when that is, though, Patrick.
Vice Gaming's new podcast. Let's see. As you continue introducing, I'll figure out what this is.
We started before Tim was here. Now that I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, Tim will know. And then I realized Tim came on after
September.
You got here in October, so September probably. Yeah, so we still have some time. Also joining me, obviously, Patrick Klepek. Rob Zachney is here. Danielle is taking a day to rest and recover. And Danielle, if you're listening, I hope you're listening while resting and also recovering. How's everybody doing? How's the weekend?
I spent the full week recovering. I'm feeling good.
You did? Yeah, you took a whole week off. You're back after a week of babies. And what else did you do? What other things besides babies?
I played golf.
Golf. Which golf? Is like the golf
real
club?
Real life swinging a golf club.
Is that like Tiger Woods? Yeah.
Is that early access? That's
well. I would say my ability to play is constantly in early access. it's never quite hitting 1.0. But I real life golf is a lot of fun. It's extremely challenging and frustrating. But deeply satisfying as a mental – it's like a mental and a physical game.
It is.
People should not – it is easy to knock golf for the way people dress when they play golf and the kinds of people that play golf.
Yeah.
Don't knock it. Golf is a really fascinating attempt to try and control like your own mental frustration. Like half of that game is trying to just not get angry at yourself.
For not being good at that game?
You're only swinging a club, but like a lot of that is like rote memorization, like guttural instinct on like time, distance, speed, length. It's a lot of fun. It's an excuse to drink beer during the day. So, you know.
Okay, well, now we've gotten to the heart of the issue, haven't we? We finally dug deep enough and found your true motivation.
September 27th. Episode 1.
Okay, so that's a while still. Of Waypoint Radio or of Vice Gaming's new podcast?
Vice Gaming's new podcast.
God, it was that long? I was off the airwaves for that? Jeez. Damn. Because I started here on July 1st of last year. In fact, we're coming up on that date, which is wild. That'll be over this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a year since I've been here.
I've been in L.A. for exactly 1 year.
You've been in L.A. for a year, and you're moving this week? Friday?
Yeah. Which is going to be interesting because nothing is ready.
What do you mean when you say nothing is ready?
Like, there are no boxes. There's no bubble wrap.
You don't have boxes yet.
I have some of the boxes that some of the stuff I bought like originally came in. So like I'm going to be able to ship my gaming rig back home, which to be clear is like the only thing I really, really care about. And then for other items, I might just sort of be letting the magic of Los Angeles alleys do their work.
If you say that out loud, that now the cops know it was you.
But nothing stays out there long enough for the cops to get, like, in a fuss about. Like, you just put stuff out, and someone immediately shows up and is like, I can repurpose this. This is right. awesome. Which I think is the only reason L.A. works as a city.
Okay. It's a big recycling city, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
How are you getting back? Are you flying? Are you car? Are you driving? What are you doing?
I am definitely flying. Okay. Last week, I loaded my car onto a trailer. And so it was one of those big, like, car hauling trailers that you see on the highway. And I live in a dense Boston neighborhood. If you picture, like, you know, what does Dorchester look like in your head? That's kind of my neighborhood.
I've never been to Dorchester, but the word communicates everything about Dorchester, I think.
yeah, pretty much. So I load this thing onto this truck, and this guy's like, all right, like, is this address, like, going to be okay for my truck? Like, I know Boston. You're not lying to me, right? Like, the truck's going to fit.
Right.
And I think it might fit.
Oh, like, Rob. Like,
I mean, it could.
You couldn't just be like, oh, just meet me here at this other place and we'll pick it up?
I could have done that, yeah, but I could also just have my car come to my door, which, I mean, what could be better?
No.
And look, the semi will totally fit. If not a lot of people are parked in the neighborhood that day, I think we're golden. Like, we'll be fine. So, like,
I like this. I like the way you're gambling. It's good. It makes me feel good. It's going to be an interesting story no matter what happens. It's either we're all, like, very excited for you that things worked out exactly they were supposed to, or the alternative to that is also extremely interesting.
Right. Because here's the thing. You gave this person your home address. So, I'm just saying, he's just going to be out there just knocking on your door every day and being like, you fucking ruined my whole day. You got to at least make this good. You got to take me out for breakfast.
That's fun detail, because this is how you know this is all on the up and up. This guy only wants cash. Like, when that car shows up in Boston, he just wants a rather significant stack of bills.
And like, what denominations? Any a preference?
No, he didn't go into, like, I want used 20s. No, he didn't, like, we didn't go that far. But
sequential. Weird. You would think non-sequential because it'd be harder to track, but he just loves sequential bills. He wants the numbers to go
he likes
1, 2, 3. Yeah, exactly. I want to know which number of bill I'm spending.
He likes to rig a good game of liar's poker. So he's only taking cash. The whole delivery situation might be a little sketchy. He does not want a check at all, and I don't have his last name. So, like, this can only go good places.
Rob.
On my doorstep in my neighborhood.
Rob.
How did you find this person?
Through a reputable online broker.
What? How did you find the broker?
Broker.com?
Through Google. No, this isn't like the shadow broker. Like, I didn't, like, go into, like, bars all around Los Angeles and be like, look.
I've got this car.
I need to make this car disappear from Los Angeles and
Rob, are you
going to
go John Wick on this whole situation if your car disappears? Are you going to... Is this going to be your catalyst to spring into action and reveal that you are, in fact, a roaring force of justice? Justice is probably the wrong word for John Wick in retrospect.
Well, I don't know. That dog deserved better than God.
That dog deserved better, for sure, but...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of bodies piled up around that dude. No, like, if the car disappears, I'll be honestly maybe a little relieved, because I leased a car to, like, survive and work in Los Angeles, and I'm leaving Los Angeles. So if the car disappears,
Wait a second.
As long as I can file a claim.
It's all coming together.
Delete this part.
This is a lot like how my dad used to leave the keys in his car, hoping someone would steal it.
Did that ever work?
No one stole the car. They would just, like, steal the cash he forgot in there.
What was the car?
It was like a totally fine, like, Honda. Like, it was just at the end of the road where you could put money in, like, you could put money into it, like, one or two more times and get a couple more years out of it. But you could get more money if it was just straight up stolen. You just go buy a new one. So his solution to that was just make it easy for them, like just to come in and take the car, like I, you know, and it just never quite worked. But it was I respected the process.
God,
but this is a man. This is a man who would be on the phone when he got to work, would forget that his car was on, leave the keys in the car running for the all day of work, come back out to that car at the end of work and wonder why the car didn't have any gas in it.
Right, right.
Maybe because you left it on all day. Dad.
You know, at least actual he never like, forgot you in the car. So
true.
You know,
that's, that I'm aware that's a plus. That I'm aware of.
Rob, have you managed to play any
video games?
There's
that weird unexplained phobia of cars.
Oh boy! Wait, what?
No.
Who do you have? You have okay. Have you? Did you? Besides not packing, while you haven't been packing anything except your car onto a mysterious shadow trailer, have you played any video games?
I've been driving tons of cars.
Oh Jesus Christ! What? For real? Or, like, have you also been loading other cars onto trailers?
No, like, I haven't, like, moved in. Like, no, this isn't, like, Gone in 60 Seconds where I'm like, oh, man, I got a taste for, like, shipping these cars out of Los Angeles. Like, I'm
not stealing cars. You just like shipping cars at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. No, I am. So I started playing Forza 6 Apex on PC because... Like, last week, I watched the 24 Hours of Le Mans, which is a really cool 24-hour endurance race.
Right.
And that sort of got me fired up to play some car games. And I decided to finally take a look at, you know, because I keep forgetting that, like, Xbox games are on PC now. That
yeah.
Those ecosystems have kind of, like, moved adjacent to each other. And I hadn't
there's
fully,
some,
like...
some overlap at this point, yeah. And so,
which,
that's good.
Which definitely makes the... The Xbox One X situation may be a little murkier for me than it otherwise would be. Since
had you been considering an Xbox One X until you made this new thing?
I mean, it's the most powerful console ever. Like,
oh my God.
Who wouldn't consider it? Who wouldn't briefly like gaze deeply into that spec sheet?
Who doesn't want to download a 100 gigabyte patch for a video game?
What? Yeah. So wait, let's talk Forza really quick because that. Can you explain what you're talking about, Patrick, for people who have not noticed or have not picked up on that?
Yeah,
that
so
note?
Forza 7, which launches prior to the Xbox One X coming out, I should definitely like double check this as that it's not just an errant tweet, but there is a tweet that suggested from he had a blue check mark, so you know, but it suggested
Kermit that, has a blue check mark, dude.
Yeah, and you can trust Kermit. What? Yeah.
Oh, here we go. I'm reading this.
Wait, right. Did you mean Jeff Sessions? Was that a?
Turn 10 revealed the Forza 7 minimum requirement specs, which is quite a surprise, blah, blah, blah. One thing the specs didn't mention is you're going to need a lot of free space in your hard drive, which also applies to Xbox One owners. According to the game's store page, you need 100 gigabytes of free space at launch. So maybe this is for a title update at launch.
That's a lot of free space.
The indication was that... a lot of the 4K assets are going to be part of like something that's happening closer to even if this is like not 100% true, like there will be 100 gigabytes of free space this game requires at launch, which is going to be there will be similar sized patches or things that are related to games that are going to have 4K assets, and 100 gigabytes is a lot. I think that's like most of my SSD.
It's also going to be most of a data cap, like, or at least a substantial amount. Like, I live in New York, and I had been on Time Warner, and then I got moved to Spectrum. And today, people have started talking about how Spectrum has started putting data caps on accounts without really any messaging around it. Like, just suddenly you're on a plan that has a data cap that you didn't even know about. And that is terrible. That is terrible. So I'm not going to get the cars that look very pretty. That's what I've decided. I'm going to just
is,
have
okay.
to look.
Also, okay, here's a
1080 from, cars.
In Microsoft spokesperson. So I guess the 4K assets are exclusive to the Xbox One X version, will not be available on the PC version. My guess is they'll release those later on the PC. But it says... with the launch of Xbox One X, when it comes to game content, our intention is to download the correct assets to the correct console. That means regardless of the TV you're playing on, 4K assets will be downloaded to the Xbox One X if available, and the standard 1080p assets will be downloaded to the Xbox One S. Now that, I don't like that.
No.
Because I have a projector that runs at 1080p, And part of the pitch on the Xbox One X that Phil Spencer gave me personally when I interviewed him for Waypoint was that
he looked at you in the eyes.
He looked me in the eyes and said, "Patrick, have you heard of downsampling?" And then he touched me on the knee, and it got uncomfortable because I don't know what downsampling. I know what downsampling means, but downsampling essentially means like 4K assets and other things. You know, they rendered resolutions down. It makes things look better at 1080p, even if you aren't actually taking advantage of 4K resolutions. But so now this means I'm going to have to like. I have a data cap on Comcast, which I don't know how much it is. I'm going to have to look. It's a lot. I can download a lot more than I can upload. I know that for sure. But 100 gigabytes.
From experience.
Like, from experience. But 100 gigabytes is a lot. Like, I'm going to find my Comcast data cap. Like, I don't want that patch. Like, I don't want – don't give it to me. Don't download that. I don't –
Yeah, that's – yep. Mm-hmm. That's it, it's not a good Rob, you've been playing this game. Do you think that you need cars that look even more beautiful? Not you haven't been playing Forza 7. You've been playing Forza what's and it called? What's the actual what's the PC?
Forza 6 Apex, cuz it's not actually Apex. Forza 6. It's and some Forza or Forza, I don't really care which. But so it's Apex, it's the PC version, and so it's like a stripped down like sampler of Forza. Forza Horizon 3 is like the complete game on PC, but Forza 6 is only this sort of like partial version. And
it was basically just so they could like create something, like wrap their head around building PC versions, and so they could start doing it in parity going forward.
And so it's free on PC. That was another thing that sort of I was a good way to try out Forza on PC. And look, those cars could probably use some more Ks. Like, definitely.
Like, toss some Ks on them.
Just throw a few more Ks on it, and then I think it'll be really something special. No, the game is gorgeous. Like, I don't have a 4K display. I'm probably not going to have a 4K display for a while. So, you know, this is kind of an era of marginal improvements. But, nevertheless, I'm having a lot of fun with Apex, and it is kind of nice playing. The PC doesn't have a wide variety of like Forza or Gran Turismo equivalents. Like, consoles are always the place to get these like massive car survey games. And it is kind of cool to just sort of be able to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fire one up on PC and just kick back and not have to fuss with the entire like sim racing setup that has typically defined my PC racing experience.
1 terabyte. That is how much I get per month.
Sorry, I've been distracted too, trying to figure out if I can turn Rich Boy's throw some D's into throw some K's, but just bought a Cadillac just does not rhyme at all with just bought an Xbox One X. It doesn't work at all.
That's 10% of my data cap to download a Forza 7 asset patch.
And that's one game. In the world in which, for whatever reason, the Xbox One X, or in general, 4K gaming blows up across multiple platforms, even on PC, if the assets are going to be that big, it's going to be tough.
I mean, I imagine car games are hyper-specific in that.
Yeah, that's true.
That I have to imagine 4K assets for, like, let's say, Gears of War 4, which you and I both saw, Austin, and if someone hadn't told us it was in 4K, it's hard to, you know, there's probably someone that looked at that and went, "Oh, that I can tell that looks better." You and I mean, granted, that game was not built for 4K, whereas Forza 7 is, you know, built for 4K, and I think stuff that imitates real life probably benefits like faster. I mean, this is me kind of just, you know, spitballing, but I guess like to the naked eye, benefits for it more. And I'm sure if I saw Gears of War in 1080p, and Gears of War in 4K side by side, I would almost assuredly say,
yeah, of course,
it looks
of
better.
Course.
But just shown the way it was, it didn't do a whole lot for, or at least didn't convey to me like I need to get me a 4K display. I mostly thought, to Austin, you need to buy some real speakers because it sounds like you
those
have
speakers.
Real ones at home.
Those speakers that they were showing that game with were so good. And I don't. I just have a TV. I don't even have a sound bar.
You need a sound bar.
I'm going to get a sound bar. The thing is, like, I play so few things. And I sit so close to a TV. Like, it's – but I should get a sound bar. I know.
Austin, a sound bar is still will make – like, Rob is talking about incremental improvements in technology that we're all struggling with. A sound bar is, like, a – even – for what you're doing is like a notable, like your experience is tangibly better.
Someone tell me which soundbar to get. And then
Sony, they're all pretty good. The Sony soundbars are great.
Okay, I'll look into the Sony soundbar.
I've got a cheap 5.1 system though. Like a cheap 5.1 system.
I live in New York City. There's just not. I live in New Donk City. There's just not a space for it. I don't like. I play games in my bedroom. I don't play them in the living room. Like I'm not. That's not the life I'm living. Maybe one day that will be the life I'm living, and at that time I will consider a cheap 5.1 system. But until then, a sound bar will have to do. Which is a shame because I play games with good sound. Like I play games a lot that have dope sounds, and the two of them I played this weekend. Both had mechs in them. One of them was Cryptarch, and one of them was Brigador, which got a new release on Steam, like an updated release on Steam right before E3, I want to say. And they both have mechs, and I like those games. Those are both really good games. I guess like the quick pitch, are either of you familiar with Brigador already?
Yeah.
So the best one is the soundtrack in Brigador is just like incredible. Like
that's mostly what I'm familiar with it from.
I mean, so it has this like very like dark synthy 80s throwback John Carpenter-esque soundtrack. Mm. And like you should play it just for the soundtrack. It's like a Desert Strike style like vehicle combat game, like isometric perspective, weapon ranges and like
I'm looking at it.
Cool. It's very good.
This is a pretty ass game.
Oh, it's gorgeous. The lighting on it's really good. And I liked it when it first hit early access last year, or maybe it was a year and a half ago now. But it had a really hard climb to get into the game, like a really steep cliff for learning all of the systems and stuff. And they added a whole bunch of new campaign stuff that just makes it way easier to get your head around what the game is and like how the weapons work and how the special abilities work. It's like very – it's weird because it's like arcadey in the sense that you go into a level and like fight stuff and then you're out of the level. But it's also really like a hard fucking game. But it's really cool. So – if you haven't looked at Brigador in a while, definitely check out Brigador. And the other one is another game that I looked at in early access last year, and that's called Cryptarch, Cryptarch, one word. And that game also has really good sounds, and like mostly the best sounds in that game are two things. One, the voice acting. So you play as a ship captain who is I guess maybe you're not the captain, you're just kind of the mech pilot. But you're kind of like a crew that goes to these like derelict space vessels that you need to go in, get rid of the automated defense systems, and then loot them. And the voice acting for all of like the alien crew on your ship, who is like the engineer who builds your mech and the ship captain, is all like so like everyday Joe. It's so fucking good. It's so just like space trucker. It's like that vibe. And it's the action is just really good. Like for people who kind of liked Galaxy but wanted it to be a little bit slower and more tactical.
Yes,
I think this
me.
Is definitely what you should check out. It's another roguelite. Actually, it has a campaign mode that I think might be less roguelite than what you would traditionally think of. You kind of like make money from doing these kind of dives into these ships. And then if you die, you don't lose. You don't like have to start over. You just go back to before that mission and you lose the money of whatever you took into that next like big derelict vessel. So it's like, OK, I've outfitted myself with $150,000 worth of equipment. If I lose this mech, I lose $150,000, but I'm not dead. And I think maybe you lose if you lose all of your money. But, you know, it's really a cool game that I have enjoyed a lot and want to try to at least get like a couple of wins in, so to speak. You can kind of, there is like a six like ship run. But it just has so many cool things. Like each of the derelicts has a bunch of different interconnected systems. So the whole thing is like, okay, you have to go in and blow up the core of the vessel, or like the mind of the vessel, but it's protected by a shield. So you have to take the shield out first. But maybe the shield has an alarm on it. So if you start attacking the shield, an alarm will sound, calling a bunch of enemies in. So maybe you want to go take the alarm out first. Or maybe you just say, fuck it, I'll take the shield out. And then it's like kind of stealth duck away as soon as the enemies show up. Like it feels really good to move around. It's kind of a 2D side-scrolly floaty thing. Again, Galaxy is the closest thing that I've played recently that kind of feels similar. It's a little less anime, a little more like American cartoon styled, you know, like a little more like if there had been American anime in the 80s, this is what it would look like. It kind of almost has like a Titan AE vibe, but like dark Titan AE.
Grim dark Titan AE.
It's good. It was cool. So those are the things I've been playing on.
I think it's interesting how you talk about Brigador sort of, because it looks like they put out sort of an updated version. Up Armor Edition. Which has the sort of this not rethinking, but trying to find a way to get more players into the skill arc because. There's a game I bounced off earlier this year called Tumbleseed, was a roguelike in which you're trying to get this seed up a mountain. And the game has a deeply influenced by games like Spelunky, but whereas Spelunky drops you into a world where you're already familiar with the sort of mechanical trappings of how to interact with the environment. It's a platformer, and you're learning what's different about this platformer. But like, if you played an action platformer before, you generally know what you're doing.
And also, you know spikes are bad. You know arrows are bad. Like, there are some. I mean, so there was this moment in, not to steal this for a second, but during the presentation that I went to go see Mario Odyssey in, one of the designers talked about how one of the things that makes this game accessible is that they make scary things look scary. And they make good things look good. They put spikes on things that are dangerous. They make things you want glowy and sparkly. Like, that is like a key design tenet. And Spelunky has that. Dangerous things generally look super dangerous. And from watching you play Tumbleseed, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at half the time because I've just never played a game like it before.
It's a gorgeous looking game that had the files and aesthetic that one of the designers, Greg Wowand, who worked on games like Threes, it follows in sort of that pattern. But like, fundamentally, you start with a difficult control scheme where you're trying to roll this this ball, and it takes hours, and I didn't invest those hours, but I would presume it takes hours to like just begin to really wrap your head around the control scheme, and that's without actually fundamentally then graduating to understanding other parts of the game, which part of what you playing a roguelike or even a roguelite is often like the mystery and unraveling like how the systems interact and what powers are the ones you should be going after. And anyway, so a lot of people who like those types of games, including myself, bounced off that game incredibly quickly. And I haven't dug into their big update they did, but they did like a fundamental rethinking of how that game is balanced and introduces the player. It originally had like four areas. Now it has eight, I think, because what they're trying to do is create sort of a more interesting skill arc for it. But I definitely recommend folks go and just Google like a Tumbleseed postmortem. I believe it's up on Gamasutra in addition to Greg Wowand's personal blog. But like their explanation for how they approach that is hopefully something I can write a story about sometime in the near future, because lots of games, people bounce off it and developers kind of just move on to the next thing. And this was like this really interesting, the way they explain it, trying to find a way to not lose the thing that they fell in love with when they made the game, but trying to reconcile that with the fact that there were so many people they thought should have loved the game but couldn't get into the game. And like, how do you find a way to reconcile those two without breaking the thing you built in the first place is like a really fascinating problem.
Totally. That is a really interesting problem. It's such a difficult thing because I try to ask this to developers pretty often. Is like, I mean, I asked it to David Cage. I did an interview with David Cage last week, or at E3 that went up last week, which is, he says he wants to make a game that isn't binary, right? That doesn't have binary good and evil choices or whatever. But And who knows if he will. Like, let me just say straight up, I did not get that impression actually from Detroit Become Human, which had a pacifist to and violent like meter on screen, which not great. And it was only for that scene, he says.
That's the
but in general,
of a binary, right?
Yeah, it basically. It's a spectrum, but a spectrum only has two points. Anyway, and also I think you could only – it doesn't matter. The point is, one of the things I asked him, what I think I like to ask developers a lot when they do attempt to do something new is, how do you do this in a way that doesn't upset players who have certain expectations? Like, you know, how do you make a game in which good and evil are not binary, but also in which good and evil or good and bad are not where players don't feel lied to or misled in what they're doing, right? Where there are certain expectations based on a history of games, a history of media that says this is what a good action looks like, or in a platformer, this is what a good power up looks like versus this is what a bad power up looks like. Like,
right.
Part of the reason that the poison mushroom in the Japanese Mario 2 is so devious is that, like, it doesn't look that bad. Like, it doesn't look that bad compared to what, like, a regular mushroom looks like. It doesn't have a skull and a crossbone on it. It just looks like a purple mushroom. And then you get it, and it's terrible. And, like, that is, like, a design problem in some senses, right? Like, that the poison mushroom, if I'm remembering right, like, just looks a little bit worse now than what it did in the original Mario 2. And that's, like, that was a choice, you know. I just typed poison mushroom into Google as if what the top answer would be Mario. I forgot for a moment that there are real poison mushrooms.
It's right. videogames.google.com that will limit your search results to
yes.
video games.
Thank you for that. Right, like, so, like, the difference between that original one and the one that is in, like, the original one is just, like, a little bit beat up. It kind of has, like, a bruise on its face, and it's like a slightly darker brown with black spots instead of the red and like kind of orange one. But eventually, like, that poison mushroom just straight up got like a skull on it at some point, you know? And that's like an interesting thing, seeing developers needing to balance the like, we want to do new stuff with, but also we need to communicate something to our player and have an on-ramp and make sure that like by the time they're needing to understand more complex stuff, that they have the basics down. I love seeing developers get their kind of heads around that
stuff. Well, and also in games that are maybe twitch is the wrong word, but like require incredibly fast reactions and decision-making by the player, like aesthetic is crucial to allowing players to make guttural responses that are based on their history and understanding of something. So like, you know, when you play a game like a Spelunky or a Tumble Seed or any game that like you're meant to die fast and often, like the game needs to allow you the opportunity to react in a way that you don't even make a mental decision. Like you make a guttural decision that is based on like the visual feedback, but that visual feedback needs to be communicated clearly so that you can make that sort of decision on a really quickly.
Yeah, totally. All right, I think unfortunately that's going to have to do it for us this week. We have a very tight day today. We have all sorts of meetings and other stuff. But we will be back on Friday for episode 76 of Waypoint Radio. We'll also be back on Wednesday for the next episode of Waypoint 101. We'll be wrapping up Binary Domain. If you still have questions about Binary Domain, let me tell you. After
I've
that
got
ending,
questions.
Can I get like a preview, a non-spoiler preview?
Rob.
How are you
still
feeling?
Are you still? Let me ask you this. Are you still angry at us?
There was a moment where I was not angry at you. Where I was like, oh, this is starting to make sense. This is going some good places. And then I was like, oh, I guess it's not really going good places. That this is it now. This is just the place the game exists in. And this is
a
it.
A good place.
Okay,
yep. Uh-huh.
Sure. This
yeah.
is
we're
good-ish.
In this place now.
It's
that game wraps up. Here's what I'll say is, if you're not going to play that game, you should still listen to this episode of Waypoint 101, because there's some cool stuff there that I think will lead to some really great conversation. So listen to that. We'll record that on Wednesday. I'm not sure when that'll go up, but hopefully sooner than later. If we have the ability to, we'll set up a stream for it too, but we'll see. Other than that, same old stuff here. Look for some Breakfast and Battlegrounds over on our Twitch, twitch.tv/waypoint. You can find archives of that at youtube.com/waypointvice. You can also find us at facebook.com/waypointvice and at twitter.com/waypoint. Shoutouts to Tim, our producer, who you can find on Twitter at twitter.com/timbarnes451. You can find me at austin_walker. Patrick, how about you?
Find me at Patrick Klepik.
And Rob?
At Rob Zachney.
And you can find info on Bowen, the musician who lets us use his amazing track, Miss You, off the EP Pale Machine, at waypoint.zone/BOEN. All right, everybody, we'll see you later. Peace.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.